Does anyone need a Bible? English Bible? Exodus chapter 20. And we're going to look again at the Ten Commandments. We have been looking at this for quite some time, one by one, reading and trying to understand the Ten Commandments. And today, we are at number 7. In verse 14. So I'm going to read the verse and then try to summarize and introduce this whole subject again. It says, this is another law that God gave the people. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not commit adultery. So what is my purpose today? To review a little bit, I think it's very good and helpful. The Bible says that the law is spiritual and holy and good. And there is a spiritual side to the law. We know that the law alone will never save anyone. Today we're reading about God's law. But we also know that there is a right use of the law, Paul said to Timothy, and it's for sinners to realize their sin. And the problem is this: most people don't have a clue how sinful they really are and how sinful this world is. And when they hear about God judging the world and a lake of fire, they think it's crazy. Why do they think it's crazy? Because they are blind to their sin, and they're blind to the sin of the world. And if they only knew how holy God is, how good He is, and the evil that's in their hearts, then they would understand heaven and hell perfectly. They wouldn't have any complaint or objection. And so today, we're going to look at this one law. You shall not commit adultery. Now, I realize there are a lot of laws, even outside of the Ten Commandments. And the most important laws we've already read, the ones that deal with our relationship with God, are even more weighty and serious than our sins against each other. So the first four deal with our relationship to God. But now we're talking about how men and women treat each other. And if you do something bad to someone, you've not only sinned against them, but you've sinned against God. So, let me say this. This subject is a little bit sensitive. It makes people uncomfortable, and I realize that. But I view this today, what I am doing, as my duty from the Lord. And I think that these sexual sins, it's like a big monster that comes and destroys people's souls and kills people. Imagine a village, and every year a giant monster comes from the forest and devours people and kills children and kills husbands and wives and then goes away. Wouldn't it be right that someone would stand up and fight against the evil? So if I don't do anything as a preacher, or if I hide from this verse, I'm not dealing faithfully with your souls or with God. Today, I mean, through the scriptures, to fight with this evil monster of sexual sin. And it is evil and it is ugly, but I want us to look at the Word of God, and if you have these sins in your life, I want you to feel miserable that you've done this against God and against others. And if you've been saved, I want you to feel thankful for Christ and His love and His forgiveness for these sins. All right, so let's first talk about the normal meaning, the simple meaning. Adultery. You shall not do adultery. You shall not commit adultery. What does this mean? What is the ordinary meaning of this law, law number 7? Well, in the Old Testament, you had a country, Israel. And the people were called the Jews, the Israelites. And they left Egypt, and they were going to start a new country because this would be God's land, God's people, and He was going to give them good laws that would show them sin when it happens and that would protect them from sin and warn them about sin. But thinking about it from a normal perspective, we can see this. Adultery means that a man marries a woman or a woman marries a man, and then after they make their vows and their promise, the man leaves his wife to go be with another woman. Or the wife leaves her husband to be with another man. They break their vow. They join themselves in their body to another person, and this is adultery. That's what we mean in English when we say adultery. It has to do with married people. They make a promise that they will stay together, they will love each other, and then secretly or sometimes openly, they leave their family, leave their husband, leave their wife, and they go find a new spouse. A new woman, a new man. And it's a sexual sin. It's not a sin to talk with another man or to talk with another woman, but for two people to be joined together, to have children, to start a family, that is only for a husband and wife and no one else. And so if they leave their family, it is sexual sin. It is adultery. The law is saying this: you must be faithful to your wife. You must be faithful to your husband. You must have a good family, a good marriage, a strong family. And this started in the very beginning of the Bible. Who was the first husband and wife? Adam and Eve. In the Garden of Eden. And God made the man, and He knew that the animals would not be a suitable helper for Adam. So He took from Adam's rib, from his bone, and He put him in a deep sleep, and He made a woman. And He woke up the man, and He brought them together, and they were joined together. That was the first marriage. The first wedding was Adam and Eve. Who was the minister? God was the minister, and He brought them together, and it was very good. And God was pleased with this. God loves marriage, because marriage is a picture of heaven with God. But from the very beginning, that relationship was ruined by sin. And ever since then, God has had to warn man and rebuke man and remind man not to be going after other men and other women in a sinful way, but to marry and be satisfied with your wife and satisfied with your husband. People do not respect marriage. People do not respect husbands and wives. And because of that, because of this breakdown in marriage in the family, there's all kinds of sexual sin. So, from an ordinary viewpoint, in Israel, God made it a crime, punishable by death, that if you committed adultery, you would be stoned with death. He's saying, if you are going to be holy and be my people, I want the man and woman to stay together for their life. And I've seen this happen in families. Adultery is not uncommon. In this world, adultery happens every day. Every day. In different cities, in different countries, men and women are chasing after other people and committing sexual sin. And when it happens, it ruins the family. Just ruins. It's very painful, very deep, very sinful and evil. It hurts the parents, the husband and wife. They feel like they can't forgive each other. They can't forget. They can't move on. It hurts the children because the children usually lose their parents, one of their parents, when this happens. It's very ugly and very sad. And if we look in nature, there are even some birds that stay together for life. A male bird and a female bird, like the storks, they come together and they stay together their whole life. Even the animals are, some of the animals are more pure in their relationship than men who have been made in the image of God. Men who have wisdom and knowledge would forsake their wife or forsake their husband. And it was very serious to God. And if they caught a woman or they caught a man, he was to be killed. Don't let him live. Don't put him in the jail. They're to be stoned because they broke this marriage promise, this marriage vow, and they committed adultery. But now let me say this. There is another meaning as well to this common understanding. Not only after marriage committing sexual sin, but before marriage. In fact, the word adultery that we read in English only means after marriage. But if you read it in the original languages, it doesn't mean that. It just means any kind of sexual sin, whether you go and be joined to a girl or a boy or a man or a woman before you marry, or whether after you marry you go to be joined with someone else. It's all adultery in God's eyes. Their words work a little different than our words in English. In English, we say fornication. Fornication means sin before you marry. Adultery means sin after you marry. But for them, it was the same. Now, this is a problem in a very normal way. Murder, I preached last time about murder, and I said murder happens every day. People are being killed and shot and dying in anger and hatred, fighting each other and killing each other. But I said this, everyone in the room is a murderer in their heart. If you are saved, you know you have the same anger in you that the murderer has that's in jail. And that same hatred and anger has come out of your mouth and out of your life. And God sees you as a murderer. He doesn't see you as a good person. Well, the same is true for adultery. There is a spiritual meaning to this sin, that every person is an adulterer in their heart and in their mind. So today, I want to spend most of the time trying to show and explain the spiritual side of this sin. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, and we will read Jesus explaining and commanding us about this sin, warning us about the spiritual side of this sin. Matthew 5, 27. Jesus is so wise. Because he knows people can read the Ten Commandments and think in their mind, I'm pretty good. So he goes deeper and he strikes at the root of the sin. He says this, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. Yeah, we're Jews. We know that. Verse 28, but I say to you that everyone that looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It's better to lose one of your members than your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. Now you remember what he said last week? If you say you fool with your mouth and you use your mouth to attack another person, you're guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. And here he says, if in your heart and your mind you look at a woman with lustful intent, which means desire, a strong sexual desire in your heart, in your mind, then you've already committed adultery. You have the heart of an adulterer. You are an adulterer in your heart. You don't have to do the sin in your body. You just have to like the sin in your mind and desire this in your mind. And that is sin. So what I'm going to try to say today and what I'm explaining is this. Any kind of sexual sin breaks God's law, even when it's only in the mind. Even when we never touch a man or a woman, or a boy or a girl, even in the mind, every sexual sin is dangerous and makes us guilty. Now, do you realize how heavy this is upon our world? Our world does not think this way. Our world does not talk this way. Our world, they hate the adulterers. They despise the prostitutes. But they don't mind people that have sexual thoughts and desires and a way about their life. That's acceptable. But God says it's sin. That's just as evil in the heart as what people do in their bodies. God does not take pleasure in sin. And if we take pleasure, even in the mind, about a sinful thought, a sensual thought, then we are guilty of adultery. So, let me ask a question. Why would I preach this message to you? Many of you are very young, and you're not married, and I know that. But even when I was a young boy, even when I was only 13 years old, I had all kinds of sexual sin in my heart. And I was very guilty. And any moment, if I would have died, God would have put me in hell as an adulterer. I was delighting in things that God says, no, that is not for you. You must wait. You must marry. You must be faithful to a husband or wife. I know that for young people, this is so prevalent. This is so common. These thoughts will come, and if a person is lost, they don't fight them. They accept them. They welcome these things. They're excited by these things. And the Bible says, flee from youthful lust. Youthful lust, youthful desires, sinful desires, worldly desires. It doesn't start when you get 20 years old. It doesn't start when you get 40 years old. It starts as a youth. So I know that even if you are young, These desires are in your heart and your mind, and you must flee from them. This is like a great monster, and it doesn't just attack people that are 25 and 26 and 27. It attacks people very young, youthful lust. And so I preach to everyone today. It's important. Do you remember what it says in Proverbs 7? It's talking to young men. Do you remember what it says? The father is warning the son. The king is warning his prince, who will someday be king. And he's telling him, my son, listen to me. When you see that woman in the street and she is dressed like a harlot, she is dressed showing herself, attracting people, inviting people, stay far away from her, my son. And he goes on to say this, her steps of her house go down to hell. If you go to her, you will go to hell. And he says, the foolish, naive boy, the foolish, naive young man, he follows her, not knowing, not realizing it will cost him his life. He thinks it might be sin, but it will be okay. I'll recover. I can do this. And he doesn't realize he will die if he goes for her. And then it says this, many are her slain. Many people she has killed. Many people have gone into her house and died there. So I realize this. The Bible says flee youthful lust. In my own life, when I was very young, even 13 years old, my life was full of sexual sin. And the Bible says, many are her slain. Young man, don't follow her. So I know that for many young people, they will die this way. They will go to hell this way. This is a problem. This is a law that we have to remind people of. This is bad. This is sin. Don't do it. It's a mistake. And the world is just advertising everywhere that this is good. Sexual sin is fun. And so I'm not ashamed today to preach against this and to warn you and to remind you the danger. What does it mean? It means, obviously, thou shalt not commit adultery. You shall not commit adultery. Obviously means adultery, which is leaving your wife or your husband for another person. Fornication. Rape. Child molestation. Homosexuality. Prostitution. These are sins that when we hear about rape on the newspaper or child molestation, child abuse, homosexuality, prostitution, we feel bad in our heart, don't we? I don't even want to say those words, honestly. But it also means things that the world does not have a problem with and does not feel bad about. True Christians do. What do I mean? But lost people don't. Things like pornography and masturbation. Sensual clothing, sensual dress, boyfriends and girlfriends, lovers, kissing and touching, and sexual jokes, dirty jokes about women or men. The world does not have a problem with that. If you do that, no one in the world will put you in jail. No one will punish you. It's your choice. In fact, the world many times will be very happy if you do those things. And the world tries to make those things, okay, the homosexuals will go to hell. And the child molester will go to hell. And the adulterer and the adulteress, they'll go to hell. But if you do these other things in secret or just a little bit with your boyfriend or girlfriend or just a little bit of sexual sin, it's fine. But the Bible says, if you even think in your mind these sexual sins, you are the same as an adulterer. I heard it explained this way by one preacher. If you get cut and you're bleeding on the outside, you can bleed to death. But if you get hit very hard in a car accident and your skin doesn't break, you can bleed on the inside and bleed to death. This sin is the same way. Whether it's on the outside and everyone can see it, or whether it's on the inside and it's hidden, it's still deadly. These sexual sins, on the outside, on the inside, will kill us. They break God's law. And Jesus said, oh, don't let your right eye or your right hand or your right foot cost you your soul and go to hell. Sexual sin, it may seem that nice and that valuable. As valuable as your right eye, as valuable as your right hand, you wouldn't sell your right eye or your right hand for a lot of money. It's valuable. But your soul is more valuable still. Now, this is common in our day. I want to give some very specific examples so that you realize, either one, if you were lost, you realize the sin in your heart still today, or two, maybe if you're not lost, or even for those that are, that they'll realize the sin that is filling the world right now in this way. First of all, let me mention dress, because this is a subtle way that it starts, particularly with girls. Guys, it's interesting, Jesus here, he doesn't say if you look at a man with lust in your heart, he says if you look at a woman with lust in your heart, because usually the woman's side of sin has to do with getting people to look at her body, and the man's side of sin has to do with looking at her and desiring her and thinking about her. So you realize there are two different sides of this sin. Did you ever realize that? The way you dress can be sinful. There are no laws in the Bible about dress, but let me tell you something my wife told me. She said, when she was lost, she said, don't be a fool. Girls know what they're doing when they dress that way. They dress that way on purpose. They stand in front of the mirror. They know why they show their skin and show their body. So, it's true. There's no excuse. Many young ladies will wear very tight clothing, tight pants. They'll show off their chest. They'll show off their stomach. They'll show off all kinds of body parts. And they know what they're doing. And we all know what they're doing. And it's very common. And the devil will say, and the world will say, this is beauty. This is good. If you do this, people will like you. Guys will talk to you. And boys will want to be your friend and you will be popular. But it does not honor God. It's a sexual sin to use your body to attract others. Your body one day should be for your husband or your wife. And no one else. You protect your body. You keep your body for them. Don't use your body for sin. Let me ask you a question. If I have a cup of poison, and I offer it to someone, and I say, brother, take this, drink it. And they say, no, I'm not interested. No, thank you. And they walk away. Did I sin? I'm offering poison. He didn't take it. Oh, well, he didn't take it, so I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't kill him. Many women think that way. I'll show my body, but I wouldn't actually be with the person. That would be sin. But showing the offer, showing the invitation is fine. No. If you invite someone to sin, whether they do or not, whether they're a Christian and they turn their eyes away, or whether they're a lost person and they look and they think. Both are sin because you're offering something that is forbidden by God. That's for a husband and wife. Now listen, sexual pleasure has a place in the Bible. Marriage. Marriage is good. Marriage is God's plan. Marriage is holy. And there's nothing wrong with that, but before marriage or after marriage toward another person to offer your body is a sin. And the same man that can commit sin by looking, the same woman can commit sin by showing. And this is so common. We go to the park, and sometimes I think, oh God, have mercy on these women here. So, I mean, it's just, I left America and I came to India and I thought, this is really great because America is 10 times worse than India. But still here, it's everywhere. May the Lord have mercy. I don't hate those women, but the Bible tells me stay far away. Don't be attracted. We need grace. It is a sin. Also, another specific example, Facebook. Okay, now, in our house, I realized a while back, we need to fix the internet somehow to where some of these websites we just don't go to anymore. Especially with without some kind of accountability. Why? Because websites like Facebook, it's a great idea. Have a website where someone can put their name and put their picture and talk about life and make friends with people. That's great. But you know what? Lost people use Facebook for sexual sin. And I was in Bangladesh one time, and a pastor's daughter, her father is a pastor, she took a picture of herself and put it on Facebook, where she was lying on the bed with a towel covering her chest with no shirt on. And her father saw this Facebook picture and said, "What did you do? You're not wearing a shirt?" And he was angry. And I thought, whoa, this is serious. He's angry. And he was. But that's what a lot of people do. They use a website like Facebook. They use their computer. They use their phones to look at bad pictures of girls and women. Maybe not fully looking at pornography, but looking enough to cause sin to happen in the mind. On the internet, all kinds of people are addicted to sexual videos. And they start watching and they can't stop watching these videos. Their mind is so attracted, their flesh likes it so much, they say, "I can't stop. I'm a slave. I'm addicted like a drug." And they need help. They need to be saved. They need God's Spirit to break the idol in their life. It's very common on the internet. Very common even in the street, on the billboard. The other day, I'm so glad. Now this billboard is gone. But the other day, maybe some of you know what I'm talking about. Right outside our by lane, walk to the left, and there was a huge billboard of a woman dressed in black. And just every time my eyes went there, I had to turn my face away. And I think probably every guy in this room knows what I'm talking about. We saw that billboard, we turned our faces away in disgust because advertising alcohol, advertising whatever, but selling it with sexual sin to try to attract people. I'm thankful they took it down. They put something else up now. Now my soul has a little bit of peace. It's very common. The Hindi films, I don't know what they're saying, but I don't have to know the language. I come to India, I walk by a TV, maybe in a tea stall, maybe in someone's home, and there's women dancing and singing these Hindi songs, wearing very little clothes. And moving their body. Listen, you girls, if you want to be like that, you will go to hell. Those women don't know God. The Bible says the sensual woman does not know God. They're lost. Don't follow them. If men like that, it's because they're committing sin in their mind, adultery in their mind. They're supposed to love their wife. They're supposed to be faithful in their family. Or another thing that's common in our day, the Hijra people, the Hijra. You know, most of them, they dress very strange, very flamboyant, and living a homosexual lifestyle as prostitutes. College students, they throw parties, even here in Assam. Some of the college students I've met have told me they throw parties and they go chase girls and they sleep together at the parties and commit sexual sin. In Nepal and in Assam, we've heard about recently men catching boys, catching girls, and selling them to be used for sexual sin, sexual abuse. Our world is full of this sin. God is not pleased. God weeps over the sins of our world. God is disgusted by what man has turned marriage into. Those that are young and those that are old. Let me ask you a question. Let me just back away. No more examples. Let me ask you a question. Why is it sin? A lot of young people I know, they'll say, what is so bad about sexual pleasure? Why does God make these laws that only if you're married? Why is it a sin? Because God has created something very good for one man and one woman for a lifetime, for their whole life, that they stay together. Not just so that their family will function properly with the children who know their mother and know their father, and that's part of it. But I want you to know, in heaven, it says that we believers are the bride of Jesus Christ. In heaven, we are married to God. It's not a bodily union. It's not a sexual union. It's a spiritual union. And there is so much love, and there is so much faithfulness, that it is wonderful. What do you think if God said, after 10 years in heaven, I like you, but I'm finished with you. Now I'll throw you away into hell. I don't need you anymore. I don't care about you anymore. I'll find a new wife. I'll find a new people to love, a new family. Would that honor God? No, that's not love. That's not faithfulness. That's not sacrifice. There's nothing virtuous in that. And so God chose that this relationship would be between one man and one woman. That's why it's sin to go after many people, have many wives or many girlfriends or many men. It ruins the picture that God has created to teach us about heaven and love and faithfulness and sacrifice. Another reason it's sin, because it's selfish. Adultery in the body or in the mind is fully selfish. Me, me, me. This is what I want. Sexual sin says, I don't care about your life. I don't care about your soul. I don't care about your thoughts. I just care about your body. A man wants the woman's body. The woman wants the man's body. That's a sin. That is selfish to the core. That is not why God made us. Not to be like an animal. That there would be love and faithfulness and sacrifice. And the other thing is, here's another reason. This greatly, greatly dishonors women. It dishonors the woman. Almost always, the man is the abuser and the woman is the abused. And the man is taking from the woman and stealing from the woman as if she's not important. Just bodily lust. No relationship, no friendship, no honor, no respect. You see how terrible this is? Do you really want to live life this way if you're lost? Is this what you want? You want this kind of physical attraction and chasing around boys and girls and leaving your husband for another man? But sin is so deceptive. And the devil will show you the nice side. He'll show you the pleasure, but he won't show you the poison. And so people, they do this sin every day in their mind, when they're alone, when they're in the street, when they're at school, in their heart, in their bodies. Today, I'll give you a warning. If you are lost, this sin is like Esau. Do you remember Esau? Who is Esau? Jacob's brother. Esau was the older brother, and he had a blessing from God, an inheritance. When his father died, he would get many things. If he could wait, he would have a great blessing. And the Bible says he sold his inheritance. That immoral man, that sensual, immoral man, sold his inheritance for a bowl of soup. That's sexual sin. You sell your soul, you sell everything that's holy about marriage for a small joy, temporary, for a boy or a girl. And I warn you, if your mind is full of these thoughts and you're always thinking about boys or always thinking about girls, or a husband or a wife is always thinking sexual thoughts about other people, if that is your mind and it's full of that and you are controlled by that, you're lost. Many people, they're in bondage. They're in chains, and they can't get free. And when the thoughts come, they just open the door, and they let it come, and they say, I can't do anything else. I have no option. I'm just out of control. Self-control is the fruit of the Spirit. Those who have the Spirit of God make war against sin. And they wage war, and they struggle against sin, and they put sin to death by the Spirit. They're led by the Spirit of God. They are the sons of God. But those that have dirty minds are not His children. And the third warning is this. I warn you, this is the devil's bait. The other day I was talking to someone. I said, have you ever gone fishing? And they said, yes. And I said, did you use a net? And they said, no, I used a hook, morohi. So what do? The fish will bite the hook? No, you put a worm on the hook. And all the fish sees is the worm, but the hook is hidden. And I said, that is the way that the devil works. He shows you. I give you a warning today. This is one bait that the devil uses to catch people and make them sin against God, sin against their present or future husbands and wives. Now I want to stop and I want to say something very different. Everything I've said today has been primarily about sin, the sin of adultery in the body and in the heart. What about Jesus Christ? Jesus, I want us to think again about His example, because Jesus is God, the Son of God, and His life did not have these sins. If we look at His life, we see a perfect man, an obedient man. First of all, any temptation that the devil put to Jesus Christ, we see different ones in the Scripture, He would reject with the word of God. And we know He never lusted. He never committed adultery. He never committed sexual sin, because the Bible says in Him there was no sin. He knew no sin. No one could convict Him of sin. When the men wanted to stone the woman, He said, "You who are without sin, cast the first stone." And everyone left, because they had all done sin in their heart. But He was different. Jesus Christ, His thoughts were pure. He valued women. He valued their souls. He He valued marriage. He valued following God. He was not after pleasing his body. He was not a selfish person. He was the most loving, most sacrificial of them all. And he was free from this poison and free from this sin. He said, "The devil has nothing in me." The devil could claim nothing in Jesus Christ. Our lives are full of these sexual sins. Every man, every woman. But Jesus Christ, he was free from them. He was pure, clean. If you could search through all of his thoughts, search through all of his brain and all of his mind, you wouldn't find anything wicked like that. He never married. He never married. He knew that to please his body was not God's plan for him. Now, I know for most people that is God's plan. I've heard it said that 98% of people get married. That's a lot. That's a big amount of people. And God loves marriage, and singleness is a gift for only some. But Jesus Christ, he was called to be single his whole life. He didn't complain. He had no objection. He stayed pure. But there's another way that we can see the purity of Jesus Christ, and that is, he didn't marry on this earth in the body, but he has a bride. He has a wife, and it is the church. And there will be a day coming soon. Right now, he is engaged to the church, and he's made a promise to the church. But the wedding day is coming, and the wedding day is in heaven, and his love is for the church. His love is for his people. And he loves his people with such a sacrificial love. He's not looking to get from them selfishly. He gave his blood for them. He died for his people. He died to save his bride. He's the greatest husband. He's the most faithful husband without ever a thought of divorcing her or leaving her or forsaking his people. You can see the purity of Jesus Christ. You can see the good example of righteousness that as men and women we ought to have in our life when you see the way he died for the church. He bled for the church. He interceded and prays for the church. That's what God wants us to be like. That's the great example that God wants us to imitate. He is the greatest example that anyone can find of purity and faithfulness toward a bride. And in heaven, it will go on forever with no end. The love, the peace, the relationship, the friendship. The greatest marriage, the greatest union, the greatest bond of love that you could ever imagine for all of eternity will be with Jesus Christ and his people. So now the application. I'm finished with teaching. Exodus 20, you shall not commit adultery. Matthew 5:27. Whoever looks at a woman with lust in his heart has already committed adultery in his heart. What is the application? If you are lost, confess your sins, run to Christ, and be washed. The blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. The worst sin, the blackest sin, the most selfish sin, the most wicked sin. You think of the people in the world that have committed the worst sexual sins, not just in their mind, but even in their body, that have thought the worst thoughts. Jesus Christ will wipe them all away. He will make them white as snow. The gospel speaks peace to the worst of sinners. Run to Christ. If you're lost and you know what I'm talking about, I realize there may be a time in a child's life when they're so young, these thoughts have not entered their mind, and maybe they don't know what I'm talking about. But today, if you understand my message and you understand what I'm talking about, I know this has come at you, and I know it's infected your heart. I know it. And I'm saying, run to Christ. that he would forgive you and wash you of every sin. He's willing. Jesus will accept all that come to him to be saved. My advice is this. If you are a person that is full of these sins and you feel trapped by these sins, run to Christ. Jesus Christ can break every idol in the heart. Someone has the idol of boyfriend, girlfriend. You say, well, is that really sin? Yes, because it's the first step away from God, making an idol in the heart, not about marriage, not about faithfulness, not about, don't kid yourself. That's the first small steps toward that deadly house where many have fallen slain. And it's an idol for many people. They care more about a girl, more about a boy, more about a man or a woman than they do about God in heaven who made them and loves them. And that's an idol. And God can break that idol. Idols are strong. Idols have power. Idols control us. But God can break every idol. There is no sin that Jesus Christ cannot break. Give us freedom. Give us peace. He can clean our minds. We sang it today. Just as I am. Sight, riches, healing of the mind. And if we come to Christ, he can heal our minds from these sins. If you're saved, this is my application. First, let me talk about some practical things, and then the last is most important. The first is this: wait for marriage. Wait for marriage. Pray about marriage. Make yourself ready for marriage, but don't go chasing after men or women. It's not the plan of God. If you're not ready to be married, wait and pray. The Lord will help you. Hate every form of sensuality. When you see it, hate it in your heart. Fight against it. Every form of sensuality, temptation. Oh, listen, I know some of you have believed in Christ, but you're young. And this boyfriend-girlfriend thing has power to draw you away from God. Don't be foolish. Be very careful. Guard your heart. You wait and pray, Lord, help me to love you. Help me to wait for your plan. Find your joy in God. You know, all of those young people and those college students and even older people that are chasing after others, they're not really happy. In fact, most of the time they just complain. They're empty. They're not satisfied. That's why they go from one boyfriend to the next. It's not going to help you. So if you're saved, wait for marriage. If you're saved, this is really practical. I would say, keep a high standard in your life and in the church. These sins are like a magnet, and the closer you get, the stronger the pull becomes. If you have a magnet in metal, when it's really far away, you can get it to move a little bit. The metal kind of starts dancing, but there's not much of a pull. But you get closer, and before you know it, fast, this bond happens. Strive for a high standard, high level of purity. Protect yourself. It's like if you're on a ship in the ocean and you see some rocks, and you know if you hit those rocks, the ship will break and you'll die in the water. You'll drown. Would you think, well, we can get close to the rocks, but just so long as we don't touch the rocks? No. Every good sailor tries to stay far away from the rocks. You don't want to risk even getting close. The tide can pull you in. Stay far away Guard your eyes. Guard your heart. Guard your bodies. Guard your minds. If you're married, which few people are in this room, but if you're married, the application for the Christian is strive for purity in marriage, faithfulness, sacrifice, love, honor, respect. That's the fulfillment, the opposite side of this sin. There is a positive side. Strive to be like Christ in the church. And perhaps most of all today, just as I said before, I would emphasize this. Give thanks. Give thanks to God. If you're a Christian, you have a lot to be thankful for, don't you? All of the sins that God has forgiven you, you don't have to come under condemnation. Christ washes them in His blood. Christ makes us white as snow. And I give thanks to God that my deepest, darkest, most wicked sins, God has washed them all away. So this is another reason today, when we read the law, as a Christian, we're not under the law. We're not being pressed down by the law. But when we read it, we say, oh, thank you, Lord, for saving me from these things. I was so guilty, and you loved me, and you forgave me, and you cleaned up my life. We just should really give thanks if we're saved. Because we all know, we're just like this. In the Bible, all of those prostitutes in the Bible, all of those wicked people in the Bible did all these wicked sexual sins. You just know I'm in the same camp that they're in. I'm in the same line. If they all stand in a line, I have to go stand in that line because I'm the same as they are. That woman was me. That man was me. But praise be to God. Jesus Christ, save me from sin. Let's pray. Oh, Father, I pray, Lord, for those that are lost, you would put a holy fear in their hearts of Judgment Day, the day when there will be no excuse. Father, if there is anyone here that is toying with these things in their mind, I pray you would cause them to run to Christ. Oh, Father, I pray that you would protect these young people from this wicked world and all of its sinful ideas. Lord, oh, have mercy upon them. Father, I pray for Rena that you would please show her that these things are the beginning steps to fall away from God. Have mercy. Father, I pray, please, for all of your children, would you show them and remind them again how quick you are to forgive, how good you are to your bride to wash her and make her without spot and wrinkle, and show them again your faithful love. Oh, Lord, I pray that you would even, those that are not married, you would give them such a holy desire to be faithful in their marriage. Father, guard us. Guard us from the evil one. Cause us to boast in our Savior. Lord, may it never be that we would boast in ourselves. Left to ourselves, we would all perish. We would all be wiped away in the flood, but you are our ark, you are our hiding place, you are our atonement, you are our propitiation and our righteousness. Lord, teach the sinners in this room to hide in Christ, to hope in Christ, not an experience, not their own fruit, not their own ministry, not in anything, but just Christ alone. And bless it, Lord. I just pray you would bless this message even beyond what I would ask or think. And bless this day. Be with us. In Jesus' name, amen.